Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
My fault.
I'm the one who set that stupid trap.
Yeah, but I encouraged you to juice it up because I wanted this day to end. Here we go. Jennifer, we aren't a couple. We broke up a year ago.
Yeah, I know.
Wait, what? You do? But the babing and the kissing. And
I was f***ing with you.
What? What? Why?
Because we never officially broke up and I wanted you to admit it.
No, well, we didn't have some like big emotional performative talk about it, but I think it was pretty clear.
Yeah, it was all on your terms, though. You didn't give me a chance to apologize. You just phased me out. It sucked.
I was getting shipped off to Starbase 80. Everyone thought I was a traitor, even my mom. I needed you to have my back when nobody else did.
I only liked dating you because of how bad you were. It didn't even occur to me that you might have been innocent.
Yeah, I guess I could be pretty bad.
We both could, clearly.
Okay then, Jennifer, I'm officially breaking up with you.
I officially accept.
We're going to start the podcast right now.
Let's catch ourselves a Glumpus.
It's the.
All right. What an excellent start so far. We've played an audio tape and talked over it.
Yeah.
That's what I do, man.
This is what we all do.
Easy does it.
Easy does it. All right. Well, I suppose now is as good a time as any to get started doing this whole thing. What do we call it?
Oh, yeah.
We call it the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Now, let's catch ourselves a Glumpus.
All right. Yeah, that's the same tape you played earlier.
Much better.
It's not a tape.
Okay. Well, I am.
Was this a reel-to-reel I got back here?
I am admittedly.
A cassette tape.
I have to degauss it. I have to clean it by like shooting magnets at it. Make it blank.
I'm using an anachronistic term.
In a vacuum.
But I think most of our audience can understand.
Is it the degausser?
Younger folks.
Is that what it is? Degausser?
What are you talking about? I know what a degausser does. A degausser is what, like Dan said, you use a magnet to strip the magnetic field. It aligns all the magnetic fields. Particles in the same direction.
And that's how you clear a reel-to-reel, like,
how do you spell that?
D-E-G-A-U-S-S-E-R.
Word, okay.
And didn't old monitors have, like, a degausser
feature?
Yeah,
and you'd hit press
the
button,
static
you press the button, it would go like, and it would all, like, go all wavy, weird.
Was it on your, like, Coleco?
I didn't have a Coleco.
No. That was just on your old CRTs.
Coleco was on TV.
Big old CRTs. Anyway, we have drifted off topic. Slightly right at the beginning here.
Yes, I know, honey.
That's what we're best at.
We do that from time to time.
You said doo-doo. You said doo-doo.
I did say doo-doo.
That was
I know.
Duty or no duty.
That was definitely a doo-doo. Okay.
Oh, right. Cute.
Hey, why don't we hold off on the blue humor until at least 5 minutes into the podcast?
We got to start out right.
People don't like the effing and jeffing, the fucking and jeffing. Is that what that means, effing and jeffing? That means fucking and jeffing?
Well, yeah, I think it was.
It's a British term.
Effing as in the letter F.
Effing as in
apostrophe N.
Fucking, which is fucking, right?
Right, saying the F word, yeah.
And I'm not talking about a city in Austria or town. Village? I don't know. I don't know how many people live there.
Fuck it.
Anyway, it's got Star Trek. We do talk about Star Trek.
What about jeffing?
About what?
I am having difficulties maintaining my focus.
Okay. Good clip.
Prog.
Good clip. Tape. Good audio clip. Good wave file. What are these? Do you get wave?
This is bananas.
Are you using wave files or MP3s?
That's not really the vibe we're here for.
Okay, folks. We are going to get to the Star Trek. We are going to get to the Lower Decks. We are going to get to the best exotic nanite hotel. But first, we just gotta get into the groove thing here. You know, this is just the way this podcast thing works.
Dan, wow, that's so thoughtful of you.
To sort of settle in.
Dan plays the tapes. Jesse and I make some comments. We'll get through it all together.
I'll make some sounds with my mouth.
Yeah. All right. Where was I? Yes, it's got Star Trek. Welcome.
to the, we really are sort of chaotic.
To the It's Got Star Trek podcast. Yeah, we have plenty of time today. So the thing is, last week was one of those classic Paramount Plus things where they think they're being nice, and they are. They're giving us multiple Star Treks. They're like, hey, you thought you were going to have one episode? Here's two. Have two episodes.
It's just problematic for podcasts.
It holds no scientific value.
Yeah, well, for podcasters, for reviewers, Star Trek YouTubers, you got to work double duty or you got to squeeze it in.
You said duty, double duty.
Did I say duty?
First, earlier you said doo-doo, and then you said double duty.
Did I say duty?
Everyone, remember, remember, you said doo-doo, and then you said double duty.
Duty.
Well, double dumbass on you.
Oh, shit.
That's a line from Star Trek 4.
That's a Star Trek.
The Voyage Home.
Are you f***ing kidding me?
I am not. The last time I saw that, Dan and I, as it happened, we saw it in a theater.
With my brother.
With Dan's brother.
One of my brothers.
It was an excellent time.
One of your brothers.
It was an excellent time.
The other brother.
I had inadvertently taken a weed pill. That was a little too much.
A brother from the same mother.
So
yeah, I thought you were like mad at the way I was driving.
Yeah,
or
Dan
something.
Thought I was mad at him, and it was really just.
I thought he thought I was gonna like drive us off a cliff.
No.
I thought you were like my driving made you nervous.
I thought you were driving me to outer space.
Fun!
I remember about halfway through the movie when like the problem was is where I started having trouble watching Star Trek IV in that particular state was right at when they do the time travel slingshot around the sun, and they have all that. 1986 style CGI psychedelic craziness, right. And I was like,
didn't they have that in Superman as well? That kind of sort of like that sort of glow.
Sounds
that
familiar,
is that glow that sort of
well, there's also the faces,
glow.
You know, the 3D modeled faces like of Kirk and Spock looking like clay.
Yeah,
anyway,
that was weird.
This is, I mean, at least we're on the topic of Star Trek, but we're not talking about Star Trek Lower Decks, but we will. We're getting there.
We will.
We're
yeah,
almost
I
there.
Know.
We're almost there.
We're getting there.
We know that this is aggravating. please be aware. We're fully...
That's us! A couple of chatty chattersons!
We know
chatty
the deal.
Chatty chatterson.
All right, the best exotic nanite hotel, coming to that soon. If you're not too aggravated, you might check out our Patreon at patreon.com/itchgotstar... /itsgotstartrek. Very simple, very easy. Lots of cool stuff there. Go check it out. Okay, voicemail. We have a voicemail from Isaac. I haven't heard this yet, so let's just go ahead and play that.
Fun!
Hey guys, Isaac from Tasmania here.
Hi.
I was listening to your most recent episode, and Patrick mentioned that the listeners might be driving, going for a jog, having lunch, and at that present time when I was listening to you guys, I was in the bathroom, and I felt quite shameful that I wasn't doing one of the elite things that Patrick mentioned, but was doing one of the things that he wouldn't mention because he's a nice guy. And then I thought to myself, I'll probably need to admit this to someone. And I thought, why don't I tell those holograms? Those holograms.
Holograms.
And it's got Star Trek. They'd probably enjoy a stupid story like that. So anyway, enjoy the Lower Decks season and chat to you soon. Bye.
Thanks, babe.
Does that get a haiku?
Well, that's not a review.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And we'll get to that in a second. We'll get to the reviews and haikus in a second.
Isaac, you weren't doing one of the elite activities, but you're doing one of the arguably one of the most important activities.
Yeah, and we were actually, you know, unbeknownst to our kind listeners here, prior to the podcast starting official style a few minutes ago, we were having a discussion about how Dan is quite fond of talking about poops and stuff. So.
Filthy, what a filthy little man.
So I think that's
filthy
great.
Little guy.
That's great. Pooping is we're all for pooping. Dan's not the only one who's into pooping. We're all into pooping.
Everybody's pooping, man.
Some people are just a little bit more revel in it a little bit more, perhaps.
Somebody that we know.
Yeah,
sitting at the table.
Yeah, he's right over there. His name is
Curious.
All right. Moving right along, as Kermit the Frog used to say. we have a correct-em-up from last week, sort of a clear-em-up. Maybe it's more of a clear-em-up. So we were discussing the...
Could be a trap.
The intro, the season 5 intro to Lower Decks. And of course, the running gag in Lower Decks is that at a certain point, the Cerritos happens upon a battle, a space battle, and then decides, clearly the implication is that the Cerritos decides, no, we do not want to be a part of this. We're going to get out of here.
Oh, you're talking about the opening.
Yes. And the opening. Yes, exactly. And the gag is every season, more things are added to this battle.
Yeah.
And for the fifth and final season, they not only added one new thing, they added three new things.
It's great, though, right? I'm so excited.
Including the Apollo Hand and Tholians and V'ger. And the thing is I was talking about seeing V'ger, and then Dan was talking about seeing, like, a cloud.
Yeah, clouds.
But we were talking about the same thing because it, like, V'ger is, like, in the cloud. You know, like, it's the V'ger is, like, he's in the middle. I should not be gendering a space probe.
It holds no scientific value.
Voyager 6.
Is it a they? Are they there?
We wouldn't know is the thing. And
I just assumed it was clear.
We wouldn't want to make any assumptions here, because, especially because you could go ask V'ger, presumably. Granted, we might need to follow up with, because there wasn't much follow up on V'ger after the old Star Trek The Motion Picture. But anyway.
What? Why?
Just thought mentioning that, so we were talking about the same thing. Okay. I think that covers all the...
I was talking about the sky storm sandwich thing.
Yeah, the storm sandwich.
But then it turned. The cloud buns turned into cloud bunnies.
Yeah,
and then
you talking about lightning lettuce lightning and stuff. Lettuce. I don't know.
That was last week's episode.
Dan had a whole thing last week.
It was a thing, man. People were digging it.
What we were saying before was that last week we had to do two episodes. Granted, half-hour episodes or less than that, 22 minutes, was it? 20 minutes? 22 minutes? 21 minutes? This week... We only have to do the one episode, so we got plenty of time.
We got so much time.
We're going to yakety-yak.
Mm-hmm. Yakety-yak. Don't get back?
Don't talk back. But I'm going to totally talk back.
That's in that movie, The Great Outdoors, with John Candy and Dan Aykroyd.
So are we going to be able to stretch this episode into a whole episode.
I wasn't planning on talking about The Great Outdoors anymore. It was just sort of an offhanded.
Should we talk about Uncle Buck?
Well, I was just thinking,
that's not bad.
And so it's been a while since I've done Lower Decks, and you got to stretch that 30 minutes out, 25 minutes out.
Because they pack a lot into these half-hour episodes.
They do. They pack the beats.
We can make it happen.
It's full of beats.
Yeah. I think that Lower Decks doesn't suffer from this as much as TAS did. TAS sometimes suffered from. And they had an hour-long idea that they crammed into 20 minutes, you know?
15 minutes? A month?
It was usually, it was often scripts from TOS.
Yes, unproduced scripts or at least unproduced ideas. Lower Decks doesn't do that. Lower Decks does pack an hour's episode's worth of content, but it does so carefully and in an intentioned and specific way made by professional writers and stuff. It's very impressive.
Pretty good.
So there's a lot of stuff. So we don't necessarily need to.
Pretty good.
Need to stretch things along here.
Nope. No need to stretch.
No.
All right. But so we can just get right into it, right?
Wow. 12
you
minutes
know,
in.
Maybe we should get.
So the star date was 59393.7. They said 9393. Why did they put those numbers together? Do you think there was any significance to that?
Well, because that's the star date.
Yeah, but they said it was the star date.
Yeah, that's the star date.
There, no, I'm talking about significance other than the one spelled out for us explicitly. It was 9393 in the middle, sandwiched between a 5 and a 7. 7 is 2 more than 5. They're both prime numbers. Then 9393 were in between them. So that's got to mean something. 9393, you know?
Are you into numerology?
No, I'm just saying there's a
sounds
secret
like
message. No, there's a secret message in there.
That's numerology.
No, I'm not talking. God damn it. It's more like cryptography.
I mean,
mixed with mathematical magic.
Is it,
prime numbers are special.
That's numerology.
No, prime numbers are special.
Is
dude.
It because they're all prime numbers? 9 is not a prime number.
I never said
but 9 is a factor of
I
prime
never
number.
Said
9.
Well, everything's a factor of a prime number, but
you got me there, Dan.
But No, 9393. That's the significance of that, is because they repeat. But the first and the last number are both prime that are two apart. Two is also a prime number and one of the most special prime numbers.
Being the only even prime number. Yes. Now, the question for me is that, do you think that there's a hidden message here because it's almost a palindrome?
I think it was a message hidden in by the writers.
Is it like a slant palindrome?
Slant palindrome.
Like a slant rhyme?
It's you know, a palindrome if you take out the five and the point and the seven.
Do you have any suggestion as to what the message may be?
Those games you'd play where you'd write a word on the board and then you'd put something above the word and you'd be like, you know...
Jesse, do you know what he's talking about?
You know, like mind over matter. That you'd like write the word mind, okay, and then you write the word matter below, and you'd be like, what's the puzzle? It's this mind over matter. That's what's going on here, except with numbers. The 9393 are the middle numbers that are repeating, and then are surrounded.
Like when you spell out boobs.
Wait. No. 9393 are the center numbers that they're repeating, and they're sandwiched by a five and a seven, which are primed, separated by two, which is a prime. Right. I'm saying that is around there's an outer message surrounding the inner message. The outer message is the 5 and the 7. The inner message is the 9393. I don't know what the dot's for, though. What the fuck are we talking about?
What the fuck are you talking about? And 9 and 3 are like, you know, 9 is 3 groups of 3.
Yeah.
So that's like 8 groups of 3 altogether.
Groups of 3.
Dan, I'll
there's two other groups.
I'll give you the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It is 8.
There could be something there. There certainly could be something there.
But that's numerology.
But
yes, I know, honey.
Let's move along. Let's move along home.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we talked about the star date. Now we can move to the next subject.
We'll stipulate that there may be a sort of hidden Illuminati message in the star date. But for the time being, we'll move along home to the next bit, which is...
Maybe we'll see if any clues are revealed in the episode. Perhaps by the end of the discussion.
So how did this episode start?
It started with them talking about the Cosmic Duchess, which is an interstellar cruise ship the size of the moon. I don't know if I believe
it looks like a starbase more than like a ship.
I don't know if I believe that it was the size of a moon. They should have
big, dude.
They should have had better scaling. The ships did not give it the impression of a bigger moon. Now, maybe the ships weren't close enough. But they didn't. It was their job to provide us
with
that.
He's got to tell us the deal.
I'm fucking... Yeah, let me... Fucking say what I have to say first,
Jesse,
please.
He's going to finish the sentence, then I'll provide the deal.
I'm sorry.
It's no problem.
Thank you.
I mean, I'm suggesting it's no problem. Dan,
I'm saying
it may be a little bit of a problem.
What I'm saying is like, to me, it didn't put across a scale of being the size of the moon. The way the ships were placed did not give me a sense that it was as big as they said they were. Yeah. I wish they'd provided a little bit more ship next to big, close ship next to far away ship next to big thing to let us know how big it really is. Because it wasn't looking the size of a moon to me. But
well, and the thing is that, you know, they didn't say...
It definitely was not clear.
They didn't say the moon, of course. They said a moon, as you noted, as you correctly noted. And the problem that I was going to say, the problem is anything orbiting anything can be considered a moon.
I know. Yeah.
And so it can be small, it can be big. It's a silly term to use as a point of reference for size.
Right. Like I was saying, if what you're saying is true. Yes, I'm not debating
that. It was the size of 3 standard moons.
But what I'm saying is, if they meant it in that way, then why would they bother saying it at all? Because it's meaningless.
To me, it just looked like a snazzy starbase.
Yeah.
It didn't look like a ship.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really huge. I guess it could have been like a really big ship.
You never tell because the gravity is all what it wants to be. So they could probably like put the thrusters next to like the
gravity's all that it wants to be.
Like you could have the field facing the same way as the thrusters, but it like moves sideways. You know what I'm saying?
If it's a ship, where does it go? Is it just orbiting?
You're suggesting that the artificial gravity means they don't need to rely on the acceleration to have gravity all be consistent.
They can make it all weird shapes.
The way you said it, it made me think in my mind of that Addams Family song, because it's like, they do what they want to do, say what they want to say.
Did you say gravity, or did you say gravity?
All I was saying was that it could be shaped like a ship, move like you'd expect a ship to move.
Do what they want to do, say what they want to say, the Addams Family.
All I'm saying is it could be shaped like a ship, moving in the direction a ship would normally expect to be moving, and then on the back, instead of having the ground like... Even with the plane of the ship, it could be perpendicular and facing the same direction as back thrusters would be, for example. And you could have it move along because it's got its own deal. But real quick, back to the moon thing. If they meant it in such a way as to mean anything that orbits something else is a moon, then it's a pointless thing to say. Therefore, I think that when they said it's the size of a moon, they implied that it was a big fucking thing, like comparable to our moon.
100%. Like the moon, yeah.
100% that was the intention.
Yeah.
And while I quite enjoyed this episode, and I didn't really consider that at the time, I am now considering that, and I agree with you. I'm willing to be pedantic with you.
Wow, that's so thoughtful of you.
But
that while it does not impact my enjoyment of the episode,
the moon is not that big.
I agree.
I'm fine with that.
Moon is not necessarily the best way to demonstrate scale moon, or something. Certainly not in a universe, the Alpha Quadrant. You know that you know these people have explored huge chunks of the galaxy.
Jesse, the moon is not big. I mean, compared to a fucking sun, but like the moon is but it's still fucking big. It's big ship. Be a big fucking ship.
It's a substantial body.
Imagine a moon like flying through the sky like a ship. That would be too big to manage.
That's no moon.
We'd get all fucked up. It's big enough to pull the tides in. We do know how that works.
Totally.
Yeah, of course, size and mass are also too
independent. Size and mass don't matter, bro. It's how you use it.
Okay. What's next?
I still say it's not that big.
Now. Here's
As of now, we're just a trio of vacation bros.
Here's a pop quiz. I want to see if you guys actually watched this episode. What was the reason why they were at the Princess Moon? What was this place called?
The Cosmic Duchess.
The Cosmic Duchess. Princess Moon, Cosmic Duchess.
Well, that was the place that had the nanite.
That's right. They were hunting nanites. There was hunting a nanite little swarm
but that
business.
That was just part of the chaos.
Going wild. Yeah, that was the instigating
Boimler and some
plot,
other people
plot thing.
Were.
The nanite, which turned into a Katamari. If you've ever played Katamari Damacy,
right.
Like it's a rolling ball.
I have not.
It's a game where you're this ball of junk and you roll up more junk and get bigger and bigger.
Right.
Except
I watched
you
play it a few times.
Yeah,
wow.
I watched you watch me play it. But in this case, it was a...
What? It's a... What are they... Icosahedron!
Yeah,
that was
rolling
around.
Was it an actual icosahedron?
Yeah, it was a 20...
Or are you just saying close enough?
It looked
enough.
Like a 20-sided
That's what she
die.
Said it was. No, the Katamari is like a garbage pile. And what I'm saying, in this case, it...
What? It's a... What are they... Icosahedron!
In the case of Lower Decks, so it was an icosahedron, and it didn't quite accumulate stuff in the same way as a Katamari did, but on the inside, you saw it like collect all this shit inside of it. In fact, I was thrown off again by the perspective because in there they showed like Tendi sitting there and Krog I think was back there, but then there was this dude in the back on a console in the way back, and at first I thought he was just really tiny, but like it's like he was actually
it probably messed with space.
When I watched it a little longer, I could tell he's just far away. Immediately for a split second I was like, that guy's really small, but he was far away. And I'm saying it like the perspective was fucking with me inside of the Katamari / icosahedron / Glumpus.
That's the perspective fucking with you.
Yeah, so anyway, but it was like a Katamari in that it was collecting shit.
Katamari has nothing to do with the cat.
Or, Glumpus?
Or Calamari.
Or Calamari.
Or Mon Calamari.
Katamari, it's the song's awesome. It's like da 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 Katamari Damacy.
I don't remember the music, but I do remember like watching it. I remember the visuals.
And then that forgetting his name, who made the music for Katamari? What's his name?
Is he a famous video game music person?
Yes. Oh, why am I forgetting that guy?
Is his name Gilbert Manhandle?
Sandy Billups. You gotta have a normal name like Sandy Billups. Like Sandy.
I talked to that guy on Facebook once.
Oh, you talked to a video game composer or somebody claiming
yes.
to be a famous
Gilbert
video game composer.
He was claiming, you're right, but I think it was really him.
What was the nature of this conversation?
I was like, hey, dude. And he was like, hey. And then like,
you're like, I want to hang out.
I was like, I want to go to Japan sometime. He's like, you should come visit. That's what he said.
Are you going to go visit him?
No, because it was just, that was just him being polite.
Is he still alive?
What the fuck? Why? Dokaka. That's his name. It's Dokaka. D-O-K-K-A-K-A. No, D-O-K-A-K-A. Dokaka. There's a lot of great Dokaka videos on the internet, on the YouTube. And it's difficult, but he uses like a lot of those loop pedals and does a lot of performances. Anyways, sorry. He wrote like the song. This is off topic. I'm sorry. I really flew off topic there.
I appreciate it. I think I've learned from you. I think that's excellent. I'm glad we were able to solve that minor mystery for you.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that the audience is going to be patient with us as we
I don't even know what that is.
Diverge from the topic. So, yeah, we're still sort of at the beginning of the episode. I know we've talked about other portions of the episode, but the episode starts with them showing up at this resort to help clear out some nanites. And it's fun because it's not the world-ending gray goo nanites, at least not yet. It's just some pesky nanites. They're annoying enough to cause a disruption and to cause the resort to put up banners that say, "Pardon our nanites," and other similar funny things like that.
Glumpus!
They called it the Glumpus.
And I
the
like
collection
it.
Of nanites was the Glumpus.
I like terms.
Rutherford
the Glumpus.
At the end was saying something. He was like, they don't act independently. They're being controlled by that small ship that got transported from the mini universe or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you know, when he said that, I know what he meant, but they were still kind of, they were acting as an organism. So in a way they weren't acting, they were, in a way they weren't acting independently, even if they weren't being controlled by that starship. Because, like, if they were acting as a network, that would still not be independent. I guess it was, I know what he's saying. It's like they're not all interacting in a network.
It's directed as opposed to being an emergent nanite colony brain.
Right.
It's like a beehive brain.
Yeah, it's more hierarchical instead of like a sort of a.
Because you know, like with the beehives, the bees do that crazy flapping the wings, crazy stuff.
Bees, they do that crazy flapping.
Birds, when they're flocking, and fish, when they're schooling, you know, they have these algorithms and they can all interact with each other.
Skunks, when they're stinking.
They can, you know, there's emergent properties come out of the interactions of the independent group, whereas in this case,
like when you see like
a flock
of birds,
somebody was directing it,
like when you see a flock of birds
or a flock of seagulls,
when you see a bunch of birds flying around and they move in these waves, then you see that cool wave pattern that, and then they turn into a big hand and like pick you up and throw you,
then you're fucked.
Anyway, so I didn't think that was entirely accurate, but I'm not gonna fault him too much for it.
Well, and I'll fall down on the side to think there was nothing wrong with it, and he was merely differentiating between the hive mentality brain versus directed by a remote control signal.
What I was saying is I know what he meant, and so I got the picture. I just think the wording shouldn't have been, they don't act, they do act independent. Instead of him saying they actually do act independently, I would argue that they were acting independently before, but more accurate was what you said, was it was less of a hive mind,
hierarchical. Coming into this podcast, I'll admit that, you know, having watched this episode a few times now, I wasn't expecting that this was going to be one of those weeks where we had to write a letter to the producers, but it's sounding like we've got at least two bullet points that you've identified that we need to highlight to the producers.
I'm not joking, Lee.
We've got this whole business with the what you were just talking about with the nanites, and what was the other thing? The moon situation.
Oh yeah, the moon situation.
So we and then two bullet points. We'll keep track. We'll add bullet points.
And I had
to the
two
letter.
Perspective issues. One, one with the looking.
Who
as big
wrote
as the
this
moon.
Episode?
I didn't check that out. Jesse brings it up because he wanted to know who we should address it to. So ATTN colon.
Right, but I was okay. I'm just gonna keep going.
All right.
series as opposed to parallel.
Diamonds as opposed to rubies.
Where are the diamonds? Where are the diamonds? What's that from? Where are the diamonds?
See, it evokes something. It catches my memory, but I can't quite remember.
A Fish Called Wanda.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. A Fish Called Wanda.
Remember that movie?
Wanda.
Remember that movie?
I do remember the movie. It's a brilliant movie. Yeah. It's better than the pseudo sequel, Fierce Creatures, but Fierce Creatures is still good.
Okay, so what I was saying is the
John Cleese.
So let's see how quickly I can get this point out. Earlier, I was also talking about how the perspective. Yeah, you were saying the moon thing, but the argument for the moon was: is it a moon, as in it's rotating a thing that's simply orbiting you, or did you imply that is the moon? If in which case, why would you say a moon instead of the Earth's moon? Yeah. Okay, but the second part is that it was. We can assume that it was. They meant the size around the Earth's moon. In which case, I wish they showed better perspective there. Mm. I also found that their perspective was confusing inside of the. Inside of the Glumpus. Mm-hmm. Although I'm not going to fault them for that one, because that, I think, did a good job, Jesse, like you were saying before, because it was surrounded by all this gray space, so it gave it kind of a cool, like, ethereal look, the fact that you couldn't tell how far they were from each other. So I'm going to take...
Glumpular.
So I'm going to take that criticism about perspective issues inside the Glumpus back, because I think it went for what it was trying to go for. But the moon one, I think the moon could have been
a
little
better. It was definitely not clear, like, the scale.
Yeah, in the moon.
I'm with you right there.
I have rejected the addition of that third bullet point in the track changes.
You reject what I said?
What was the third one?
What Dan was just saying, the perspective issue, we're removing that from the list of bullets in the letter.
No, but the moon one.
No, the moon one's fine. The moon one's staying.
Yeah. But the one about the glumpus, inside the glumpus,
No. We're keeping the bullet about the glumpus being controlled by single source.
Yes.
Versus,
but we're removing the perspective in the glumpus.
Exactly. That's the third bullet. We had added it. In track changes, I'm rejecting that addition.
Okay.
Okay. Now,
I can't scratch my nose!
As it happens, that brings us up on break time.
Perhaps it's a pocket dimension of its own, with its own rules.
Oh, you think inside the glumpus was its own dimension?
Yeah, I mean, it could be.
Maybe.
That's why the space was funny.
That's why the mini universe people transported them over to the glumpus, because the glumpus like made some kind of connection to another. That'd be cool. I'd be into it. They did introduce that weird idea at the end, but we should talk about that when we come back, right? Yeah,
breaky break.
All right. Well, thank you both. Thank you both for your help on that. We'll talk more about this when we get back. Be right back.
See you at the bottom, bros. This canary is about to fly.
I forgot about that whole bit. All right.
And we're back.
Wait, are we back?
No, not yet.
Jesse does not want to be back.
I'm just goofing.
Do you want to be back, Dan?
Yeah, well, I'm ready. I'm ready.
Okay, all right. Now we're back.
I don't have the vote.
Well, no, we're back. We're back.
Just officially. Means more time to spend cuddling up with my snuggle fluff.
Snuggle fluff. Hey, crazy.
Okay. All right. All righty then.
Jeremy.
My snuggle fluff.
Okay.
I didn't realize that Lauren Lapkus was Jennifer. Hmm.
Yes, no. And I loved Lauren Lapkus. I'm a piss pig. Do you know what that is?
Something about Lauren Lapkus?
Yes, a piss pig is a term. It's a colloquial term. Well, I guess I should say it's a term of endearment.
Colloquial.
A self-selected term of endearment for people who identify as fans of the podcast Threedom, which is a podcast that stars solely Lauren Lapkus, Paul F. Tompkins, and Scott Aukerman.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
So
it sounds intense.
If you are a fan of Threedom, or at least if you're a sufficiently passionate fan, you go by the term piss pig. And in public, you have to state this.
Publicly piss pig.
State this clearly, piss pig. So every time Lauren Lapkus shows up, I'm delighted because I am a dyed-in-the-wool piss pig.
I just assumed it was clear.
Yes, exactly. Lauren Lapkus is great. You know, it's the fifth season.
I never saw that movie with her and David Spade though on Netflix. That movie.
The what's her name? The real Glammy Jemmy.
The Kimmy Gibbler effect.
That's what it was called. It was called the Kimmy.
You wish, dude.
No, it was called.
We always talk about Kimmy Gibbler.
God, why can't I remember what that's called? I mean, part of the reason I can't remember is I also haven't seen it. But
we could find out so easily.
We could, but that would require looking things up, and people don't like it on podcasts when you look things up, unless you do it in a comical fashion.
Unless you vamp real good.
Yeah, well, we're good at that.
Yeah, but a little too good. We've been doing a lot of vamping.
A little too good.
Okay. Best exotic nanite.
Really? You think we've been vamping too much?
Huh?
You think we've been vamping too much?
No, not really, but I'm acknowledging significant,
vamping and
significant percentage of vamping.
Are we sucking blood? Is that how much we've been vamping? Because we're sucking
vampy
blood.
Vampy scamps.
Are we sucking blood? Is that how much
is
we're vamping?
Is that a term of art? You've spent more nights, late nights in nightclubs.
Are we sucking?
Than I have. So listen, I don't know if that's a term of art.
Listen to what I'm saying. Are we sucking blood? Is that how much we're vamping?
Sucking blood.
And I'm asking you, is that a turn of phrase that you picked up in your days playing punk rock and late into the night?
We're getting all pointy.
In the venues, the various venues that play that sort of music.
I'm vamping so much.
We got fang boners.
Fangs. I'm vamping so much, I'm covered in blood. I'm vamping so much, I got blood dripping from my teeth.
That's sick, man.
What else has blood dripping from its teeth?
Vampires.
Yeah. You didn't get that?
No, I'm afraid I didn't. And I don't.
He did not.
Vamp.
And he does not.
I'm
still don't get it.
Blood and vampire.
Not making any connection between the word vamp and vampire. Anyway, Dan, these episodes are supposed to be evergreen, and you're hinting at the fact that we're recording the day after All Hallows Eve.
I wasn't even thinking about Halloween. You just said vamping.
No, it was in you. Vampire.
Buffet and pool is a bad idea.
Yes, I have that in my notes too.
Oh yeah, that was not cool.
It's such a comical idea to put those two things together. Because I do like the bar pool, although those are less awesome in practice than in the imagination.
Yeah.
It is kind of cool to go up and be like, oh, I can just go grab a drink. But
you can just pee, right?
Yeah, there. But like you don't have your wallet, and so you have to like give them your like hotel room key or whatever. So you're swimming around with your like hotel room key or. Yeah, it's.
You know what? Jesse just said, you can pee right there. And then you said, yeah, but blah, blah, blah. And then you went on to talk. You agreed with him when he said, you can pee in public, in the pool, at a bar.
I wasn't actually processing
it. I know. That's
the sort of thing I hear later when I'm editing the podcast.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that was funny.
This time he pointed
it out. That's why we pay Jesse the big bucks. Because he lays down that.
Big podcast money.
Those observational. Clever little jokes. Sneak them right in there. Can we start by just pointing out that this is another episode, like the last one, with sort of very balanced A and B stories?
Balanced.
And in this case, they have the exact same instigating device, right? Which is like the nanite thing brings the team to this planet, but it happens to be that they get split in two and they're learning different lessons. Right. Primarily Mariner and Boimler. Mariner.
Shut up.
And Boimler in particular, his season-long arc. Do you know what his season-long arc is? We figured it out.
His beard face.
His beard. He's like slowly trying to grow this beard. And you can imagine.
Like that other dude from the alternate.
Exactly. Like alternate Boimler.
Big purple beard.
So you can presume he's going to, like, it's going to be more and more hilarious as it goes
along.
I like that
has had a lasting effect on the season. Just their visit. Not that they brought anything back from it, other person Mariner or anything, but that this idea
Becky
stuck
Freeman.
With this idea stuck with Boimler.
Boimler
and Mariner. Mariler and Boimler.
Marilyn.
That's
okay, but we do have these sort of two distinct A and B, very strong A and B stories. Nothing really else, right? There's no other stories going on here, right? So Mariner side. No, we mustn't go to the Maryland side. We must stay on the Virginia side. That's a bit of local geographic humor for people in the D.C.
which means
metropolitan area
on the banks of the Potomac,
on the Washington and D.C. separated by the Potomac River. All right, Mariner's story, right?
Mariner story.
This is
I'd forgotten about Jennifer. Like I totally like I forgot.
I had too because she. Yeah. It's been like a season or something.
Yeah, when she came back, I remembered her. But then I was more like, oh yeah, Jennifer.
I had missed Jennifer because I knew it had been a while since we'd
seen
her.
Well, it was funny that
because it was all exactly as Mariner describes in this episode. It's sort of like Mariner was off the ship and all this other stuff was going on. Yeah, so it's like he's just sort of. Thought the things were
oh when
over.
You said I missed Jennifer, I thought you meant you missed her in the show. I was like, you missed her character in the show.
I have Jennifer blindness.
Well, I thought it's like you missed her and you didn't realize until later or something.
No, I missed her.
Or that
her.
Like you didn't recognize her at first, and then when they said Jennifer, you were like, oh, Jennifer.
I lamented her absence during her absence. I missed her.
I missed her.
I'm sure there's other ways to convey
it. Started
as well.
Out as a funny gag where she was like running around, Mariner was running around and like she pushed Jennifer out of the way.
Yeah.
She was get out of the way, well, Jennifer.
She and Jennifer, that was the fun part of the arc, right? She and Jennifer started as sort of not enemies per se, but certainly at least mild antagonists, was sort of aggravated by each other. And then realized that their aggravation was related to having certain things in common, which made them
totally
then become interested in each other. It felt like a very natural relationship, including this whole breakup business.
Real quick, speaking of people being sort of like rivals, pseudo rivals, but then getting along. Wasn't Boimler jealous of Manhaver?
Well, that was because of Boimler's girlfriend,
right?
Gillian Jacobs.
But like him and Manhaver are like all cool now.
Yeah, they were cool at the end of that episode.
Yeah.
I think.
Who lost his hands.
Yeah.
I know, right? Well, we'll get to that because we're still talking about the Mariner.
But
Mariner business.
Yeah, the Mariner.
We're being
the
professional
Jennifer.
Podcasters.
Professional.
Putting a little bit of structure on the discussion so that it's not total nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
So that in addition to entertainment, which we've provided plenty of already, the audience may get some degree of access to information and perhaps, if we're lucky, no guarantees, some insights.
That took a long time
Fingers
to say.
Crossed.
That was a,
well, I just want to be thorough.
Hike.
I want to be thorough and complete. And by the way, you've just reminded me. By referencing Haiku, you reminded me that I forgot to mention the whole Haiku review thing. I'll talk about that.
Oh, we have a new review?
No, we don't. But we. Oh. But I just didn't mention. The, oh, right. Mention that. It.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, we'll talk about that at
so
the
we'll
end.
So we'll have to do an FU.
We'll do it at the end.
So, so Jennifer is all like, "It's a perfect spot for me to advance as long as nothing goes wrong on this mission." And I was like, "Why would something going wrong on the mission be a problem?" But like,
it's not.
It's not.
She was just fucking with her.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, she was fucking. But when she said, as long as nothing goes wrong on this mission, that was implying that there was some logic to it, that if something goes wrong on the mission...
In retrospect...
Like, what... she was... I know that she was fucking with Mariner, but in this aspect, she was implying that there was a reason that something going wrong on this mission would cause her problems. Because something did go wrong on the mission, but it had nothing to do with her ability to transfer. Yeah.
No. I... And write in, audience, to write in to feedback at itscottstartrek.com if you disagree with this assessment. My...
Disagree with Dan.
No, not with Dan, with me.
Are you f***ing kidding me?
No, because my assessment, if you disagree with my assessment,
whatever,
this assessment, as in the assessment I'm about to provide, which is watching it through the second time, my understanding was, is she said that like she's basically everything she said was needling Mariner. It was basically trying to say, like, hey, Mariner,
don't fuck up.
If you fuck up, if anything fucks up, my life is ruined. She was goading Mariner into saying something because that was her whole goal.
Is there really a Manitoba? Is that made up?
Yes, that is true. I think she is indeed transferring. That's why
what
she
kind
wanted,
of ship is
she wanted to do this now because she did want to get this resolved before she leaves. And what I was trying to say earlier is I know it's the fifth season. I know the show is ending at the fifth season, at least for now. But I was still sad to see this sort of closing off, potentially certainly in the near term future, of that relationship continuing. I understand what they're doing. Yeah. It makes sense. I liked seeing it as fun. It's fun and interesting to see a well done breakup story. But I like that character. And if she's transferring away, we're not going to see that character anymore. And I like Lauren Lapkus because I'm a piss pig.
Okay. Piss pig.
Yeah, I'm a piss pig. You guys aren't piss pigs, but that's okay. You may become piss pigs if you choose to listen
I'm
to
I'm just
freedom.
A regular pig.
Yeah. Dan just is a big old bucket of piss.
These are arbitrary compartments you're creating for yourself, and you're imposing upon me.
I just imagine a bucket of sloshy piss.
Fully imposed.
slapped it right on you.
Shut up.
Yes.
Jennifer likes bad girls.
Jennifer does like bad girls, which is we knew the whole time, right? That's what attracted them to each
other. Gross. Remember in Stranger Worlds when that Andoria dude got his antenna cut off?
Yeah, dude.
That was Discovery. 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 Sorry, not Stranger Worlds. He's got his shit cut off and you can see his all cut off. I bet that hurts.
That happened in Enterprise as well.
Lisa needs braces. Dental floss. Enterprise. Lisa needs braces. Enterprise.
Okay, forgive me, Dan, because I honestly...
Are you losing your mind?
I have no fucking clue what you're talking about.
Remember that Simpsons episode where it's all like, Lisa needs braces. Dental plan. Marge goes, Lisa needs braces. And then, Marge goes, Lisa needs braces. And then Lenny goes, dental plan. And it's like floating in Homer's head because Lenny was talking about a dental plan at work. And then like Marge is talking about it. And then he's thinking and in his head, he puts it back to back and goes like, Lisa needs braces, dental plan. Dental plan. Yes. And I was switching dental
the
plan with,
the enter- Homer brain, yes.
with Enterprise to make it Lisa needs braces, Enterprise. But we need to think of something else for Lisa needs braces. Something like Riker makes faces. Does Riker make faces?
Enterprise.
Riker makes faces. Enterprise. No, Damn. That doesn't work.
No,
what does that have to do with Lower Decks?
Yeah, I do.
Well, Enterprise doesn't have anything to do with Lower Decks either.
You're damn right.
Because Patrick mentioned Enterprise.
Dan, I enjoy this live workshopping that you like to get into from time to time.
We've been through a month of hell!
On-air workshopping. My polite criticism here is that firstly, one issue is that the Simpsons reference, and I'm going to stipulate and believe you that this is a real reference. I don't recall it.
Oh, I remember it.
But I believe you, but it is an obscure reference.
It's not that obscure.
It's an obscure
reference.
No,
it's not. If you've watched it, if you're familiar with the first through the eighth season of Simpsons, if that was your jam, Or maybe more like the third through the eighth season.
That's a lot of people's jam, dude.
It's the third through the eighth seasons.
I think in addition to it being obscure...
It's not obscure.
I think that...
It's one of the less obscure parts of those early seasons.
I think that your Star Trek version of it, which was... What was it? It was Riker.
It was Riker Makes Faces.
Riker Makes Faces.
Enterprise. Riker Makes Faces. Enterprise.
I think that is too far removed... From the obscure Simpsons.
No, look. I will agree with that second part, but the first part of that being an obscure Simpsons reference is false. That is false. Now, that can be your opinion, but your opinion is wrong in this fact, because, like, it is not obscure.
All right. Again, write in at feedback@itscottstartrek.com. Let us know
your views about Dan's Simpsons reference. Only if you're, like, the third through the eighth season kind of Simpsons person, because, like, a lot of people today... like, never saw the early Simpsons, and a lot of people are like, you watched the Simpsons. It's like, yeah, like, a fucking long time ago, it was awesome.
I'm 40.
Right. Like, I don't know if people must still watch it because it's still on, but I haven't watched any recent Simpsons.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Lisa needs braces.
Not in a very long time.
But I don't think it's, like, all of the
dental plan.
I don't think it's all the rage among kids or anything, but I don't know. I could be wrong.
Probably not.
Isn't it, you know how they have that dead internet theory that says that, you know, most of the posts and most of the responses to posts on various social media are just bots? That's the very, very simple version of the theory. Maybe there's a dead Simpsons theory too, that it's only robots that watch Simpsons.
Well, there
was
just
like Russian bots.
Some guy was telling me
Russian bot farms watch the Simpsons. That's why it still gets good ratings.
Someone was telling me about an article someone wrote.
It's run by Harry Shearer. He runs these bot farms.
Someone wrote this article. You can read on the internet. It's about what they call zombie Simpsons, which is just like the writing of Simpsons now. It's like kind of like operates like a zombie, yeah. Sort of mindless and kind of like
Simpsonite golem.
Yeah, something like that. Anyways, we were talking about Lower Decks.
We were talking about Mariner's storyline.
Yeah.
Where you know, it was fun. We got to see Tendi mm-hmm. back in action, joining the crew. Yeah. She was fun. There was not the main focus, of course. She was the main focus of the two key storylines in the first two episodes.
I think I thought the Boimler story was a little more interesting. The Mariner story, it was another one. It reminded me of, there was another episode where they went, I think it was on, was it on Starbase 80? Which, by the way, they referenced again. They're always referenced in Starbase 80. But which is the one where there was a chase scene where, like...
That wasn't Starbase 80. That was one of the fun Starbase.
Wasn't that one? Wait, wasn't that
Starbase
the one?
Starbase 80 is the shitty Starbase.
I know, it's the shitty one. But wasn't that the same episode that where they met Talyn or something?
Was that the Dupler one?
I don't know. There was one where they were like on a dune buggy going
through.
No,
that wasn't the dune. Yeah, that was that was some kind of, was it Deep Space Nine or was that a different starbase?
It was a different starbase. Yeah. It was some kind of. You're right. It's probably a fun one though. Anyways,
was that the one with like the data?
I thought it was the Dupler one where
they had the data action figures or the data shampoo.
Yeah,
some of them were lowers.
The Gorn meat on a stick stand.
Yeah, I don't remember. But anyway, the point is when the Katamari started rolling around town, which the town looked cool, by the way. I liked how they...
Yeah, it looked like Greece.
Back on town, totally. Looked like a cool town.
Some sort of Greece analog or Italy.
But it was like a big chase scene thing that it reminded me of that one back several seasons ago. And I kind of sometimes find those a little bit kind of like not too exciting. It's just kind of like I'd rather... Lower Decks focused more on its fun hijinks than
part of it was the chase. I guess you could call
the chase part of the fun hijinks, but I don't know. I like to listen to
they
like them
they
being
had some
goofy.
Problem solving. They tried to set the trap for the little glue.
Yeah, was it a food trap? Were they shooting crystals to make it want to eat?
Well,
is that
energy,
what it was doing?
Energy food.
But it was like stopped because it was eating the energy, right?
Yeah, that, the goal, they were like, we're giving it the metal and energy that it wants to consume and add to its
consume.
I like the Talyn stuff was funny when she was into that guy. Frog.
Krog ruled.
Krog on the rocks.
Krog ruled, voiced by the same
Vibe Tubes.
Same person who does Manhaver.
Lord. And like the Vibe Tubes stuff was pretty crazy.
Could either of you who are professional certified musicians, could either of you imagine what it would be like to play the Vibe Tubes? How do you think it would work?
I don't know. It's
it looks like a theremin type thing.
Almost,
but they're touching
like, futuristic.
But they're actually touching.
Well, yeah, because
Talyn was like circling. She was circling the middle one.
Yeah, like
then,
a glass
and then sort of jerking off the
other
ones.
I know.
And it makes like electronic-y, like ambient like sound.
Yeah, so it was like at a glass harmonica thing aspect to it. That, but then she could like move her hands up and down like a theremin kind of like thing. Yeah. That's what I think is.
It looked cool.
I don't know why the tubes
sounded cool.
I don't know why if you're not blowing through the tubes, I don't know why they had to be different sizes. That's
right,
the thing.
Yeah.
It didn't really make sense.
Maybe they vibrate. Right. It's vibrate those, the air or something.
Great Star Trek.
Why would they only have if they were if that affected the way
anachronisms.
They anachronisms? You're right. If there was only if the two tubes vibrated the air differently, why would there only be two of them? If the size was going to affect it, they'd have more tubes.
I thought there were three tubes.
Well, okay, maybe there were three. But
yeah,
the point
but the,
being
the
is there
tube seemed to be more about the circle with the fingers.
No, I'm saying that yeah,
finger,
right,
finger
exactly,
circles.
Right.
And then the other tubes were the more the glue.
So blocks. And I'm
they
saying,
never get instruments
and so,
right.
I'm saying yeah, I'm saying if the
nobody
size
does.
If the size affected something, it'd be like a pipe organ where there'd be like a lot more of
in this case, size doesn't matter.
Yeah,
trombone.
What do you think it sounds like? Because I know we heard. We ostensibly heard it was mixed in with a bunch of other stuff.
I was disappointed we never got to see Krog perform. That
yeah,
cool. Yeah, to hear it properly.
Maybe in the future episodes.
But we
five
can,
tubes.
Maybe they got a
five
a
tubes
Krog callback.
We can presume that Talin had some facility at the vibe tubes since she was such a big fan.
Dude, when she went
curious,
that was just like a wave of emotion spilling. Yeah, out.
And
know,
she was like, I'm really distracted.
She was like,
she's fucking off her
she
rocker.
She was like so stoked about it, man.
Stoked. But,
she was, yeah.
She was psyched.
That's why they sent her to Starfleet.
Yeah. Where was the line? I'm looking for it now. And I can't
question.
Find
hey,
it.
Jesse.
Hey.
Dan's looking up a line here. He's got his notes, apparently
oh
not particularly well organized.
I'm having some problems.
But
this
he
week.
Has this particular line that he'd like to reference to make some sort of point, presumably of interest to the audience. What I've done here is I've tried to give him as much fucking time as possible so you can find the goddamn line.
I am having difficulties maintaining my focus.
Yeah,
very,
that's what she said.
Yes, you
really
are.
Apply that applies focus. On two levels.
Yes, you are.
That's what, but that's what she. But that's when Jesse said that I was going to play.
I am having difficulties maintaining my focus.
Because that was the line that Jesse was trying to remember.
Was that the line Jesse was trying to?
Yeah, it just so happened to mirror how I was feeling at that time.
So we can
too.
Move on. We don't have to do one of those long pauses that I edit out. That I just edit out the pause where you're just like you start crying.
Like,
I'm so sorry.
It's okay,
dude.
So embarrassing.
Where would I stay?
It's just a podcast.
You can go fucking sit outside, Dan.
Five tubes.
I'm going to get a little bench. I'm going to go get a disused pew.
I'm going to call your mom.
A disused pew.
My bro is ignorant.
Set it outside.
My bro is ignorant. Trying to give you a win here, brah. As of now, we're just a trio of vacation bros.
Let's see you at the bottom, bros.
We're not
this canary
about that
is about to fly.
My bro is ignorant of your ways.
All right, so I get it. You weren't that super into the Mariner.
Okay, we
thing.
Can keep talking about it if you have anything
no,
else
no,
to
no.
say.
No, no, no. I can appreciate that you weren't into it. But
no, it's not that I wasn't into it. It's I was into Boimler plot more.
I get it. We'll get to that. we're going to get to the Boimler plot shortly.
I did
I just
like,
wanted to make sure we've concluded... the major things about the Mariner plot.
I liked the whole...
Glumpus was here
Glumpus?
For sure.
Wait, whoops.
Glumpus was here for sure.
Glumpus?
Glumpus!
Like, I liked that whole part of it. That was fun.
Well, I...
Absolutely.
Even though it's not something new necessarily, and I agree with you there, we've seen Mariner deal with this, I don't know. She likes to avoid personal conflict. But she'll pursue like professional conflict or distracting conflict. She doesn't want to have the awkward conversation with somebody about something, whether it's about her career or her relationship or something with her mom. But she'll do some other crazy shit so she doesn't have to do that.
Yeah, like working so hard just so you don't have to work. It's kind of like equivalent to that.
That's a good way to put it.
But so she was doing that gag that they do in movies and shows where like the one person like wants to do something, but the other person doesn't want to do something, but they don't want to tell that person that they don't want to do that thing, and then the original person is like, oh, it turns out we can't do that thing, and then the other person is like acts like they wanted to do it all along. Like, oh no,
I'm so sad.
We can't do it, I really want
fuck.
And then later the
fuck.
And then later the original person comes along and is like, turns out we can do it after all, and the person's like, oh no.
Great.
Like why do they always have to play it up like they actually really want to do it? I get they want to seem like they're cool and they're using they're exploiting the scenario to try to like make them seem better, but it's over the top, you know. Maybe that's why it's funny.
Well, Dan's just had a minor realization here. Yeah, no. It was, I get what you're saying. I enjoyed the storyline, but I agree. It was, you know, it's nothing super new. It's something we've seen.
I mean, Lower Decks is always fun to watch. Not like an issue of that.
I wouldn't say that you were saying that.
I enjoyed seeing Lauren Lapkus again, Jennifer.
Yeah.
Piss Pig. I enjoyed that. I was less interested in the Mariner stuff and more about, you know, we got to see some of these other things. Because it was fun to see Tendi and Rutherford doing some problem solving and then sort of that awkwardness that everyone else has to deal with. The clearly something's going on here with Mariner and Jennifer, and it's sort of awkward to be around. T'Lyn is who we get to learn the most about, because all this stuff with Krog and the wiggle tubes and stuff, it was fun. T'Lyn has rapidly become a lot of people's favorite, or certainly one of their favorite characters. She's certainly one of my favorite characters.
Yeah,
I thought a great addition to the cast. And is again one of the other disappointments about this show ending so soon is because she's such a fun character to hang out with. And to see
your presence is a comfort.
This is the first time in a long time, certainly, we're getting to see her. Now she's settled into the Cerritos and Tendi's back. So we're getting to see some of the dynamic with T'Lyn and Tendi, which we didn't get to see as much of before.
Obviously. Have I ever mentioned that whenever I hear the name Tendi, I think of chicken tenders because that's what people call them.
That sounds delicious.
You have mentioned that before, but you've never gone into much detail about sort of.
I don't get it.
Do you like to just put honey on
which
chicken
specific? Agnostic to the source of the chicken tenders, or do you like a particular brand, a particular restaurant?
I don't.
There's always a new chicken. This is the new thing. Chicken
Let me tell you something about chicken tenders.
Like,
Red
Hot Chicken.
The only reason I can think that restaurants tend to charge more for white meat and act like it's all they charge more because it probably is more expensive for some reason. But like whenever they're like, oh, these nuggets are made with all white meat, it's like, I'd rather have the gamey, like juicy dark meat. Like,
I want the thigh meat.
Yeah, exactly. So
my Austrian grandmother taught me that when you're making chicken schnitzels, use the thighs.
See,
moister, juicy.
Right. And so there's been this
Wiener schnitzel with chicken.
There's been this sort of idea that like white meat is better and more pure or something. Well, Jesus, I can't believe that.
I think it does connect to that sort of thinking.
Yes.
That,
you know, the white supremacy.
White meat is some kind of like elite.
Because
meat.
We live in all of us around the world live in societies.
I didn't realize what I was
have been structured by, or at the very least influenced by white supremacy
about
the 1600s.
I didn't realize that that's the direction it was going. But anyways,
it's been going in that direction since 1600.
I didn't realize what I was saying was headed in that direction. Okay, but it's true.
1630.
They always talk about like white meat. I guess like
1619.
To me, like white meat is like. I mean, not to me. It's like in my opinion, Thanksgiving is the most busiest.
All right, Peggy Hill.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, okay. What I'm saying is, and white meat is dry. We know this, and so but somehow it's thought of as better because I guess it's just like.
Yes, this is the chicken tender business.
I don't know why it's
if you don't cook it properly.
Wait, let me finish.
If you cook it
properly.
Look what you've done, Jesse.
You're all just like talking at me. Stop it. Stop it. You want to tell me something? Just wait till I'm done going back and forth.
I'm
like
really
ping pong.
Sorry.
It's not just you, Jesse. It's not just you.
I know.
It's mostly you.
It's like I'm just like trying to get the sentence in. And I can't. I just can't.
All right. Chicken tenders, white meat.
I'm trying to say this one fucking thing.
The restaurants are fucking with us in a special way that you're about to reveal.
Jesus.
All right.
I'm sorry. I'm like still reeling. Okay. Trying to get back.
We need that O'Brien clip. I don't think we have the O'Brien clip yet where he's like, Jesus.
I don't think I do have that one.
It's because we haven't discussed any of the episodes where he's like, Jesus.
Okay. Right. So... All I was saying was that white meat, for some reason, people have got it in their head that it's like better. Maybe for some reason it costs more because of some reason, but I don't know why. But yes, the dark meat is juicier and tastier. So you're asking me how I like my chicken tenders. I would prefer them with dark meat. I would. But I don't know who specifically does that. I don't know of a dark meat chicken tender thing. But all I know about nuggets is either they're white meat or they don't mention it.
They say breast and rib.
They don't okay, rib. But like
but that's white.
But they
it's nonsense.
Anyway, so like I wish they had a specifically like a dark meat chicken nugget and a dark meat tender. But if you like what tenders are like, I remember the tenders at Chili's. I haven't had them in a long time.
Yes, I was thinking exactly that. They were good.
With those honey mustard, that shit was fucking amazing.
I bet it's not anymore, but
probably not.
I'm in there in 20 years.
No, so. I know.
Where is there a Chili's? There's a couple around.
But also, like, I buy these, like, chicken tenders in the freezer section of the grocery store. I forget what company it is, but it's a popular company.
Purdue.
I don't think it's
Cisco.
I don't think
Tyson.
It's I don't remember, but it's like,
I'm sorry.
No, it's
Dr. Chicken.
Is it
from Dr. Chicken?
I'm Dr. Chicken.
Anyways, it's good. Those are good. I went in Oklahoma. There was a place, I forget what it's called, but they sell you fried chicken gizzards and livers. Mm-hmm. And those are pretty good. Although one time, you got to be careful with those livers, because one time I bit into a fried chicken liver that was just a little too big.
Oh.
And I just got too livery. And I was just like, you know, you bite something and it's good, but then you get too much of it and you're like, bleh.
I got a mouthful of bile.
Yeah. It was just like, kind of.
Well, we got to take a break, but we do encourage our audience to write into feedback@StarTrek.com.
That is a great plan, sweetie.
Or liver.
Tag us on social media and let us know if your culture, if your corner of the woods on the planet Earth has chicken tenders, chicken strips, if you enjoy that sort of thing, or indeed chicken,
I mean before today,
fried chicken gizzards, any
they
of that
do
stuff?
It's universal.
Well, if it is, I want to hear about it. How do you have it
prepared? No, I want to hear
you,
about it too.
How do you prefer to have it prepared?
What kind
all
of
that
sauces
stuff?
Do you like?
It's got chicken strips.
How do you dip?
We'll be right back. We will be right back.
Looks like we're not done yet.
And we're back.
Your presence is a comfort.
Yeah, I know.
I appreciate that. All right, so we're going to switch over to the good old Boimler storyline in just a moment.
Oh, no, that was a fake out.
In just a moment, because I did want to mention a couple other things.
Easy does it.
I'm sure I missed some of these things, but, you know, they were describing the amenities of this moon-sized, whatever that means.
Amenities.
Amenities.
amenities nuts. Okay, sorry.
The amenities horror. Amenity horror.
They have.
So is that called the amenity horror something?
Amityville horror. The amenity horror is like
amenities nuts.
Where's my towel?
It's what they show you like when you're getting when you work in the hospitality industry. And
where's
my
coffee?
They got the training video about all these bad things that happen when you work a late shift at the hotel. It's like
people pooping in the toilet.
The amenity
except
horror.
They pooped out of the toilet.
No. Okay. The amenities of the
best. We've been through a month of hell.
Best exotic nanite hotel. Yeah, month of hell was funny. instead of year of hell.
A month?
15 minutes?
Yeah, they referenced that.
Dixon Hill slot machine.
Dixon Hill slot machine.
was one of them.
What was that?
I mean, that one was fairly self-explanatory.
Why? How so?
It's Dixon Hill slot machine. So Dixon Hill, which is the mystery dime novel,
totally,
pulp novel that... detective novels that Captain Card liked.
Oh, right. Machines. Oh, I forgot about that.
And so they're slot machines that are themed.
Like, I forgot about those.
Remember when Vegas had all those Lord of the Rings slot machines? And it was so silly because it was just like a slot machine, but it had Frodo on it and Golem.
Frodo.
That's how slot machines work.
Yeah, I know. You could be like, I got three one rings.
I just forgot about that. Little bit of knowledge.
Now, what about an underwater dry park?
Yeah, the underwater dry park. I was trying to imagine that. Try to imagine that for me. That was funny. Yeah.
Well, you were talking about the gravity and the I forget.
Were you talking about?
I wasn't
gravity?
Saying no gravity. Don't put that on me. All right, I didn't say that. Just because one of you two clowns said, "Did you say gravity?"
Well, Jesse said that,
and now it's truth to you guys.
Yes, well, exactly, because that's how things work.
You just accuse someone of something, and then over time
Jesse
it becomes
made it
true.
Real.
It's a post-truth world.
Jesse made it real in my mind because he said it, and you said gravity.
Did you say gravity?
Did you say
I kinda
gravity?
I kind of like that you said gravity, Dan. Me respect you more.
It sounds cute.
Yeah, it's a good play on gravity. Anyway, underwater dry park, I can imagine that. Were there any other amenities? I'm sure there were. There was, of course, the buffet by the pool. Buffet and pool, which
it's
we already discussed as being probably, you know, just like sitting in the pool, like eating cocktail shrimp and
taquitos.
Taquitos and just like you could dip your taquito in the pool water.
French
just
to get
nothing better than like a slightly moist taquito.
French toast sticks.
A moist taquito.
Slightly
moist taquito.
You don't want a soggy taquito.
Yeah.
Tamale.
Unless you're dipping it in milk. I suppose maybe if you're dipping a taquito in milk or hot chocolate.
How dare
you drink in front of us?
Hot chocolate. Yeah.
That might be all right. Okay, so any other amenities? Nope. Going once, going twice. Boom! We're done. Okay, so now we can talk about Boimler.
You were just talking about the buffet and pool, that bar, like, and when those
Are you talking about the Cretaceans from A Night in Sickbay and Enterprise?
Now, was that how they're
and
pronounced?
Voxala?
Is that how they're pronounced? Like
Cretaceans?
Did they pronounce that like that in Enterprise?
I believe so, or something close to
because
that.
Because it's spelled Kreetassans. It would sound like it's Cretaceans.
Yeah, I agree. I 100% agree with you.
Cretaceans?
It's not spelled how you'd think it would
And you know
look.
What Ransom also said in this episode?
What did Ransom
She's a Denobulan, right, Sandy?
A Denobulan, yeah, I heard that.
She's a Denobulan, right, Sandy? Cretaceans?
Because he's a knob.
Both words were said by Ransom. Both were from Enterprise. But yeah, Denobulans.
Denobulans.
Denobulans. No, he says Denobulans. But like those people who are like,
how dare you drink in front of us?
Yeah. Now, you'd think that like, you know, if they were offended by that, they wouldn't hang out in front of a bar.
It's a total, yeah, exactly.
The Cretaceans, whatever.
Cretaceans.
The Cretaceans, they kill everybody.
I can't scratch my nose!
You're right that in reality, it doesn't make much sense for them to be hanging out near a bar where food is being served.
But that's funny.
But we did see them be really obnoxious about their specific needs on Enterprise, and Archer was always he was all bristly.
Oh,
they showed up a couple times where they mentioned the food thing,
right.
But there was also other stuff. Like if I recall correctly, I think they were the ones that were like, when you're orbiting our planet, we expect you to change your clocks to match our time.
And they almost killed his dog or something.
Yes, they wanted because his dog peed on a tree and he had to do this whole silly, I mean, slightly offensive, if you ask me, in how they actually, how the producers decided to present it.
Archer was bristling. He was bristling. Oh, Ransom said earlier that he was smirking. I don't know if that was really a smirk.
Yeah, I know, because you talked about a smirk. The Riker, he's a smirker.
Yeah, he was smirking.
Right? He knows how to smirk.
You know what's another funny word they use in books?
I mean,
books?
Clamoring. I like when people are clamoring.
I'm a fan of the old that term clamoring.
Yeah,
it's
like, you know what it is, but it's something esoteric about it.
Yeah, well, so we've got these, this is the Vacation Bros storyline.
Vacation Bros in a storyline.
And it is, again...
As of now, we're just a trio of Vacation Bros. You know,
just like the Mariner thing was, in my opinion, maybe Dan less so, a well-done but fairly standard plot of the whole, you know...
I said I liked it just fine. It's just I preferred the Boimler plot.
But I also prefer the Boimler plot. I agree it was more interesting. But in essence, it was still one of those sitcom storylines where there's a misinterpretation that is not necessarily the fault of anybody in particular, but the combination of things.
But part of it kind of is Ransom's fault, because we don't, as the audience, we don't find out what the mission is until as it's happening. Like at first he's just like, Boimler, come here. We got this mission. Mm. We don't know what's going on. And then they're getting on the ship and he's like, oh, by the way, it's undercover. And then later we find out it's like Admiral Milius went AWOL. And then later we find out they have to go to some tall mountain. And later it's like we're finding out what's happening as it's happening, as is Boimler. By the way,
it's a need to know.
When they captured him from being AWOL, instead of punishing him, they let him like be on some important ass.
Well, because of Starfleet.
Yeah.
And because he was AWOL, not hiding from war. And don't get me wrong, I do understand in principle, like the problem with in a military situation, if you are absent without leave, which is what AWOL is short
for. I think most people know that.
Yeah, but you know, not everybody. Like I said, we do need to provide some degree of information on this podcast.
Some of them, yeah.
And that technically counts, even if it's reinforcing information that people already have.
Could be a trap.
But in this context, in this Starfleet context in particular, I mean, he got fed up from being bored milking whales.
Yeah.
He was really good at fucking milking
whales. And in the alternate universe, he milked whales too.
Now, do you know who played?
Was it Toby Huss?
Yes.
Toby Huss
played Admiral Milius.
It took me a minute. I wasn't sure. I was like, wait, is that Toby Huss?
I know him most from, he's done a lot of voiceover work, but probably most famous for playing Cotton Hill and Khan Supernusenphone on King of the Hill.
Yeah.
So that was fun to hear his voice. And
fun!
it was doing the whole kind of Heart of Darkness, you know, like this play on Apocalypse Now, that sort of thing of the leader, in this case the admiral, going mad and going into the jungle. Except in this case, he's just in a fancy resort where
what was the deal with
pay extra?
He had like a goggle, like sun tan lines, glasses, tan lines.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
So that's the mission they're on. Mm-hmm. The misunderstanding is caused in part because Ransom is sort of not really being communicative, and just in terms of management.
And as Talyn says, assumptions are anathema to communication.
Yes, they are. Mm. You're anathema.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
As we must remind ourselves that one thing is that this story is told from the perspective of the Lower Deckers. And so, yes, you're right, Dan. We lack a lot of information until it's revealed to us over the course of the storyline. That's often what's fun about these Lower Deck storylines. That's part of where the miscommunication is coming from. Part of it also is that the Cerritos is a good crew. It's a good ship. They've done some important things, but they aren't the flagship. And
he's a good
Ransom's a good officer, but he's not necessarily a brilliant officer.
He's not Riker.
And he consistently makes various management mistakes, including not communicating his intentions well to his subordinates, right? And so in this case, he hasn't done a good job of explaining what his goals are here to Boimler. He's figuring, he's just sort of being like, oh yeah, Boimler will figure it out.
And it doesn't reveal till the end. It's like, oh, we want you here because you're super awesome and smart.
Exactly.
Like, and there was like no way we were going to know
and,
that.
And you're live, basically.
Yeah.
But the thing is we know that the other thing contributing to Boimler's misconstruing what's going on is this whole situation with Manhaver having his hands melted off by lava.
More like man have no hands.
Yeah, right.
More like man have no hands.
More like
Manhaver, more like man have no hands.
See, I'm enjoying this dynamic where Dan has selected a sort of a punchline and just keeps saying it over and over again. Jesse's failing to come up with a punchline
because he keeps saying the shit.
No hands, that Manhaver. No Manhaver, no hands. Manhaver, no hands.
Okay. So that's
curious.
So that's adding.
She's really into it when she says that. That it's true because, like, in like Vulcan culture, like curious is like that. That does kind of mean like
if they're actually curious about something. That's like that's
the closest.
Some shit.
Yeah, that's the closest they can come to emotions. Curiosity could be thought of as an emotion because you don't necessarily need to do it, but you
it's
want
exciting.
To. You are motivated.
Something new.
You are motivated to learn something, and a lot of motivation is caused through emotion. So that's about as close as they get to it.
I love learning.
I love learning too. Curious.
I love learning.
I'm trying to get us back on track to where we were. Because what we were talking about was Ransom, the communication there, but also the Manhaver thing. But we can infer from the story that Manhaver, yes, while he's put Boimler into a state of mind that perhaps was not appropriate for Boimler to be in, it's not for no reason. Manhaver's complaints are legitimate.
Not for no.
Because Ransom is doing the same thing with Manhaver that he's doing with Boimler, is that he's made assumptions about Manhaver's particular career and personal goals, and then he's just, without asking him, without confirming him, he's setting up scenarios for Manhaver to be put into danger because he's just decided somewhere along the line, Manhaver's a brave guy. He digs being in danger. And Manhaver probably would totally disagree. And just like Boimler was happy to find out that he was selected for positive skills, but he could totally believe that he wasn't because of the way that the mission parameters were and or were not being communicated by Ransom.
Totally.
So there. Boimler should come up with a pointer about that, a management pointer.
Boiter.
They should be called Bointlers.
Why?
I don't know. I like it.
Boilers. Like, okay. It sounds like a better word.
Yeah.
What did you... Mwah! Which?
There's more consonants to ground.
Which of consonants. The... which of the old nicknames or pseudonyms that Billups picked did you prefer? Oh no, not that he picked. Well, you know, he had
Gilbert Manhandle.
He had Gilbert Manhandle. Gilbert Manhandle, a literary dilettante with a gambling problem.
Well, Ransom wanted to call him Zandy Billups, and he was going to call him
Sandy Billups.
No, he wanted to call him Zandy Billups.
Sandy Billups.
No, he's Zandy.
Isn't he already Sandy
Billups? I guarantee
Billups?
It had to be Sandy Billups because the joke is that they're at the beach. And so it's Sandy Billups.
Nope, it's Zandy. I guarantee you it's Zandy.
No, because...
I guarantee you it's Zandy.
You're just saying that because somebody put that on the... On the subtitles. I don't believe it. It's Sandy. It's got to be Sandy because it's a beach joke, because Ransom is making a beach joke.
It's not Zandy.
Because they're vacation bro.
It's not only does... I wish I fucking recorded that because... Actually, I did record
it. Zach Ransom.
Wait.
Zandy?
Zandy.
Well, what about before when he says Sandy Billups?
Zandy?
I think it's, that sounds like Zandy. I'll agree with you there, but the rest of it, it sounds like Sandy, and Sandy makes more sense.
I'm trying to look it up. I know it's on not only Chakotea, but the closed captioning. I see in
Chakotea.net is a website where they have a lot of transcripts
on TV Tropes. On TVTropes.org, they mentioned Zandy Billups. I don't know what that's a fucking site. Yeah, I don't know what that site is, but I'm looking on the internet for Zandy, and I'm seeing posts for Zandy Phillips. It's not Sandy.
You've presented a great deal of evidence.
It's not Sandy, dude.
It's not Zandy.
I'm not 100% convinced, Sandy, but I'm convinced that there's at least a case to be made.
I got out of the ocean. I don't know how you can't.
To me, it sounds completely like Sandy. When he's telling Billups what his nickname has to be, when Billups says he wants to be Gilbert Manhandle, the literary dilettante with a gambling problem.
What is Billups' real first name?
Andy.
Andy Billups.
Oh, it's Andy.
Yeah, so Sandy, Andy.
I just thought it was Sandy.
It's Zandy. Sandy. On Telltale TV, it says it's Zandy. I don't know what that is, but it's
Telltale TV. Hey,
Zandy.
Hey, you're getting, Zandy. You're getting all sorts of people to support you. That's cool.
Wait, just one play it a couple more times. Okay.
Okay.
Zandy. Zandy.
All right.
Zandy.
Okay.
Zandy.
All right. Yeah, that clip definitely sounds like Zandy.
So it sounds like Zandy.
Yeah, but not. It didn't sound like Zandy in the other clip.
No. Let me just review this. It sounds like Zandy. We've got two sources of data. One being the closed captioning and one being Chakotea, which on their own might be questionable. Still highly likely they're correct. Hold on, please. On the closed captioning and Chakotea, they both say Zandy. Now, each one of them by themselves could possibly be wrong, but the vast majority of the time, either one is correct. Together, I think it makes it pretty much gridlocked that they're right. Plus, it sounds like Zandy.
Gridlocked. Gridlock.
So now you're trying to distract from my point.
You make a convincing argument.
Now Patrick's trying to distract from my point by making fun of me saying gridlock.
I'm not making fun of you.
I'm already agreed with you
that you've made a convincing argument.
I don't care that you're making fun of me. I care that you're trying to distract from my point.
I'm not trying to distract from your point. I've already reinforced your point. I will gladly and happily do so again, even if it is to the detriment of our audience.
Oh, man. now you're trying to make me feel guilty.
No, not really. Okay. Other stuff about this plot line. So Boimler is worried going into this mission because he thinks, because of Manhaver's statements, fairly convincing statements, he's worried that he's going to be thrown to the wolves here. And so he's being extra nervous. He puts on sunscreen, even though Ransom is all like, you don't got to do that. A special sun that knows exactly when you're tan.
Yeah, I want to know how that sun that knows how tan you are works. It must have like nano.
Well, it's not a sun. It's a fake.
Guy get burned then?
That's a good question, Jesse.
That's why I paid extra for that.
No, I know it's not an actual sun, but I'm trying to think of the technology that allows the sun to detect how tan you are. It must have nanophotons in it.
Nanobot photons.
Nanorobots in the photons, right? Nanobots in the photons. Photon bots. It has photon nanobots.
It's an
intriguing concept
because it would need.
It sounds highly improbable to me.
Well, I'm trying to think how it could determine how tan you are and make
how tan you are.
Maybe just by the color.
I'm trying to skin
shade.
I'm trying to figure out how it determines how tan you are, and then to tan you according to that. And the only conclusion I can come up with is there's some kind of computer technology inside the photon of the light that's being emitted.
I'm suggesting, sensors. I think, a more straightforward and plausible technological implementation of this concept, as improbable as it may be, is sensors are able to detect the degree of damage that has been inflicted on somebody with the appropriate algorithms to compensate for different species of aliens and different skin tones.
Yeah.
And then the control of the light photons is so specific that it can be modulated as somebody's moving around, like the computer tracks them.
Do you think a photon?
I don't think you need the photon machine to do that.
Do you think that the light that can adjust at that level of granularity is more probable than?
I used to be a photon machine.
Yeah, like, it's a light bulb. It's a light bulb. It's an LED light bulb.
Let me just finish my question. Do you think that it's more probable that there would be photon light that's that granular versus?
Yes.
Versus robots being shot through the air.
Yes, I do. I think I can conceptualize in my mind, in my imagination, a panel of some sort of futuristic variation on an LED.
Well, we're talking about a culture
that it can modulate how much UV radiation we're talking about a culture
that can break someone down into their molecular components and bring them back together in order to transport them across like sections of space.
Yes, because that's the simplest way to do that.
I'm saying if they can do that. They can send robots, microscopic robots, through the fucking photons.
I don't think they need to.
You think there's an easier way?
I think there's an easier way.
So you're not saying that they couldn't do it. You're just saying they found an easier way.
I'm saying they have an easier way, and that might preclude even the need to develop such technology. But maybe they developed it for some other purpose. But I just don't know. I just don't know, Dan.
I don't know.
I don't even have
I just assumed it was clear.
I do have some important questions.
I don't even have an
Important question. The main important question, actually, is about this whole situation with the genitals. The back genitals.
Oh, yeah, the back genitals. Was that a reference to Star Trek 5?
Yeah.
No.
Six.
Yeah. Not five was the ridiculous one that got all fucked up.
I think we're going to be covering 5 soon. It's about that time.
We're about to get ridiculous.
But until then, the back genitals, it made me think, I wanted to ask both of you, gentlemen, if you had your druthers, what would be your preference? Where would you prefer your genitals to be placed? Because in this guy's case, they were on his back, and then Boimler was all like, why do you have genitals on your back? And the guy was like, well, where else would they be? So where would you put your genitals if you had a preference?
I think I would like mine in the back of my throat.
Okay, and now.
I'm going to put mine in the back of his throat.
Thanks, babe.
Okay. All right.
All the way back.
I can... Jesse's, I understand more. I don't know if I want to risk asking Dan for a justification.
Because you'd get to, every time you swallowed food, you would rub against it and feel good, you know, and it would be all protected.
Yeah,
it would be protected by your neck, you know?
Okay. All right. Maybe that was not the best question.
The food would caress it and the water would all trickle over it as you swallow.
I really ought to have been able to predict that this was a bad idea. I've known Dan for quite some time. I mean, literally for decades.
It's a trap.
It's foolish of me. I mean, I recognize that now. It's one of those hindsight things.
We really are sort of chaotic.
Clear as day. If only that would work for the future, but it doesn't.
Babe, look, it's working.
Back genitals. All right, yeah. Boimler with the canary. And the canary.
I thought that was funny. I thought that was funny because like they were all like confused that Boimler was saying canary because, you know, like canary in the coal mine. But when Billups was like, it's hard to think of an animal that's good at skiing. I was like, that was unexpected. That made me laugh.
It was hilarious.
I totally, because they were going for one thing.
He was all resigned about it. He's like, yeah, it's hard to think of an animal that's good at skiing.
Yeah, it really is. Now, when Boimler, after he fell off that cliff that part.
That's like Goofy.
Yeah. That was Goofy from that one of the old Goofy cartoons. I think it was the one where he was like lifting the weights.
He was
in some old school gym with the chains.
Isn't that same in the Kubrick film with
it's like the Goofy Wilhelm.
You know, Doctor Strangelove. Isn't there a similar sound in Doctor Strangelove when?
Yeah, right. Oh, that's when. Yeah, like what's that guy's name? Yeah. The guy that like jumps out of the plane with the bomb.
On the bomb.
Oh, Dr. Strangelove?
Yeah. It's not Dr. Strangelove.
No, it's like,
no.
It's the other guy.
It's,
I know the guy.
No, but you're talking about the movie, Dr. Strangelove.
The movie, Dr. Strangelove.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Jesse's he's struggling a little bit to remember the name of the particular guy because he's a famous guy at the time.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I remember this goofy cartoon where
it was, he'll shout out the
there
name
was the, it, the, there was this goofy cartoon, and the premise was that there was this like narrator like discussing how you properly like exercise at a gym, and it took place in some old
Slim Pickens.
It took place.
That's right, Slim Pickens. Well done.
It took place in some old gym, you know, where you'd have like those strong men that wore the singlets and had the mustaches and whatever, and it had the old school equipment and all this stuff, and he was wearing like some full body suit. Bathing. It's when they wear bathing suits that where they were full body suits.
Right, right.
And then that one of the scenes, he was like skiing, and then he fell off the cliff, and he was all like,
"Yeah, right, yeah,
yeah." And that's when he does the. Ah! It's one of my favorites. I love it.
I know. I know.
I don't know what the Stanley Kubrick one was
because they use it over and
over. No, it's Doctor Strangelove.
Oh, so, right. But what I was getting at was he was talking about like he didn't get when she was like, I've never seen someone fall off that cliff and not die, which implies she's seen people.
Yeah, it's like a bunch of people. But and she was going down the expert's demise. That was the name.
Oh,
of that,
I missed that.
Yeah, so there were two trails to go down, and one was called the beginner's gulch or something like that, and the other one was called the expert's demise.
Okay, well, so he was talking about I guess the reason he didn't get hurt is because he says his bones weren't dense. He was like, my bones aren't dense from working in Starfleet. Now, I see that. If your bones are less dense, maybe you would fall with less momentum, but I think that would be outweighed by the fact that your bones are all dense.
Your bones are less dense because you've been in space.
Yeah, right, but wouldn't that make your bones break more?
You'd think it would be a weaker business.
Yes. Like, I understand it, like, maybe makes it less momentum when you fall, but remember Glass guy, the movie with the glass from the M. Night.
Yes, you're talking about the character from Unbreakable.
Yeah, yeah.
Who was then, later in the more recent movie, Glass.
Yeah, and so, like, he
played
had...
by Samuel L. Jackson.
Did he have...
He was a popular actor.
Now, do you think he had undense bones, or were they just brittle bones? Or was it, like, soggy bone disease?
Soggy bone disease.
I believe it
what
was...
that?
That was from Popstar, wasn't it? Soggy bones.
Popstar in Popstar Never Stop Stopping, Andy Sandberg's character's... turtle had soggy bone disease. This is not soggy bone disease. I think the glass character is an actual disease where there is a brittle bone situation.
So that's different from a non-dense bone, because Boimler was like, mine aren't dense, so I don't get hurt. But you, and like I said, I think that would maybe affect the momentum to make it better, but it would be outweighed by the fact that your bones are more breakable.
For my part, I will say I'm insufficiently knowledgeable about the particular affliction, this particular bonal affliction.
Bonal.
To know.
This is bananas.
How close to reality, how to judge Boimler's statement.
I don't get it.
Yeah. Neither do I. Neither do
you
I.
You don't get it.
Charles Tripp Tucker III.
I don't get it.
I do not get it at all. All right, we're about ready to close up shop here, so we got to
15 minutes.
Finish up some points. And there are still things to mention. The other, we didn't mention earlier that the bar that had the Cretaceans also
Cretaceans.
Had some Gallimites. And all right. This is really, I think this is the first time we're ever seeing a Gallimite. We heard them mentioned.
Gallimite,
Dax on DS9, she had a we never saw this person, but she had a crush on or some sort of relationship with Captain Bodhi, who was a Gallimite.
Hey Bodhi.
And we only hear him referenced in the third person, and people always reference him having like a see-through skull and a toothy smile. So I guess we're seeing Gallimites for the first time here, which is fun.
Via con Dios, Bodhi.
Bodhi.
The month of hell we already mentioned, yeah. It was an intrepid class, little Voyager style ship that was from that other dimension.
You were talking earlier about how Boimler was feeling thrown to the wolves, and that was appropriate because his mission was to hunt down and capture a guy who went AWOL because he felt like he was being thrown to the wolves. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. It's like it fits together. Mm-hmm. Like Boimler was trying to catch himself.
This is a very well written show.
And he gave taught an admiral a thing or two. That means Boimler is really on his way.
For real, dude.
He's Boimerific. He's Boimer.
He's Boimer.
If I was gonna get some pasta, I'd eat some Boimeroni. Boimeroni.
Bomatoni.
Bonamoni. Bonatoni.
All right. So we're at the ending stages of this podcast.
Oh, you were talking about ships. You're talking about ships.
No, I was just referencing the Intrepid class ship, which was the micro ship from the other dimension. Voyager was an Intrepid class.
What about the Endeavor with Captain Tursel?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. That's the Intrepid. It was an Intrepid class.
No, you were talking about a different ship.
No, I wasn't.
Oh,
I assure you, And we're boring Jesse, so we got to get through this quick. That character, you know, we didn't really talk about that resolution. It was sort of MacGuffin's not even the right term. It was just sort of this like little extra things like, okay, this is the reason this happened, and really it gives us a reason to sort of redeem this Admiral character.
See, now I thought that was that idea at the end, like it was like this sort of like last second throwaway sort of thing with the whole like
But it was like super Star Trek. It was like the most Star Trek thing.
Yeah. Like it was really cool with the Endeavor, like all warping it. And it turned out the Endeavor was controlling the Katamari, and not just because it was being chaotic. It was trying to like save itself and gather resources, which like represented itself as like total chaos in another dimension, which was a really cool idea.
But
It's kind of like the joke that they introduced this complex idea and then threw it away, but then it just made me want to watch an episode with more of that information going on.
And I also liked that the ending, unlike a lot of Star Trek, the ending wasn't, okay, we'll set everything right and back to the way it should be, but rather we are going to work to solve the problem. Mm. And here this fella is going to, you know, use all his resources at his disposal as a Starfleet Starfleet Admiral, in order to try to help out. And that's cool.
Sunburned.
When Talin was trying to act like she didn't give a shit about the autograph, that was kind of like, it kind of reminded me of like when Data pretended that he wouldn't describe the pig people to Picard and Hyde and Q, because it would have been too grotesque. Like Data was worried it'd be too grotesque for Picard, when really Data didn't know how to properly describe the pig people, and it made him embarrassed. It was like kind of weird. It's like, you know, except, you know, they're supposed to be all logical and straight. Oh yeah, speaking of logic, Talin was all talking to Krog about like practicing logic as if it was some discipline.
Is a discipline.
No, but like. In a sense, but it's not like practicing meditation. Logic is just something inherent in everybody. Some people pay more attention to it than others, but it's just an inherent thing that exists.
I don't know that I agree with it in the context of Vulcan philosophical logic that they pursue. The impression I was getting is Krog was saying, I'm specifically using Vulcan techniques, Vulcan philosophies, Vulcan interpretations of logic.
It's just when you say I practice logic, it seems kind of like...
logic is still based on, you know, sort of philosophical underpinnings, and people argue about different formations. I'm expressing that's my interpretation, is he was specifically making a connection with Talin point that he wasn't picking some, he's not just like, oh, I'm into logic generally. He was like, no, I'm specifically into Vulcan style logic, which helps me get through my day.
Made it seem like some kind of like mental martial art or something like that. I don't know.
That's generally how it's been presented in Star Trek with the Vulcans. They aren't, remember, the whole point is that they have crazy, horrible emotions. They're so bad that they would ruin the whole universe if they let them go. So they suppress them through the practice of logic. They have their schools have those weird little fucking half circle holes that they have to sit in and answer all those questions, where the computers are like, blah blah, what is the square root of blah blah, and what does Surak say about the Ferengi? you just got to start spitting out the answers. Like, I get what you're saying, Dan, but I think that they meant it specifically as he's into like Vulcan style.
I think
it was the equivalent of somebody being like, I'm into like Buddhism.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
like,
that's what made it seem weird to me, because that's sort of when you're drawing a parallel between something like logic that just exists versus something like Buddhism, which is not necessarily, I mean, it has Buddhism is like sort of a collection of beliefs and techniques and practices and stuff, which you could say the Vulcan method of logic is, but when you just look at the word logic by itself, it's not a religion, it's not a belief, it's just how one thing goes into another.
I agree with you, there's a nuanced distinction.
Logic is less like an implementation of something, and it's more like a word that comes from the side effect of something that already exists.
Maybe I kind of disagree with that. I agree with your overall premise that there should be a distinction between, say, logic and some other forms of philosophy. However, logic still requires, there's a lot of interpretation, there's a lot of assumptions that have to be agreed upon, and when people don't agree, they will come to different conclusions, they have different priors that they're pursuing. There's Bayesian logic is one version of logic that people might follow. It's certainly the one I tend to go with, but I think that's the one you tend to think of. But there are other schools of thought.
I think I would have been happier if she was saying, I see you practice Vulcan logic techniques. I think I would have been happier with something like that.
Okay, well, what's that? Is that like the third or fourth bullet? Because there's not too many. We'll add it to the letter. Okay. We're going to write the letter to the authors and okay. the producers, the writers of this episode and the producers.
We're going to put a bunch of stamps on it.
Yeah, we're going to put like a million forever stamps.
It's just a crazy idea.
All right. That's enough. That's enough for this
We're
week.
Dangerous.
We are. I mean, we really are. Tune in. Trust us. Tune in next week. Tune in next week. That'll be a good one.
Watch out.
Next week, we will be talking about Farewell to Farms, episode 4 of Star Trek Lower Decks.
Farewell to Farms, final season.
A Farewell to Farms. In the meantime, we will remind
in
you.
In the meantime,
a flargle
we will
blarms.
Remind you that we will produce a haiku. Dan will produce a AI produced
bespoke
haiku. A bespoke
it will
custom
be bespoke.
Haiku.
A Blairwell to Barnes.
For every review. So if you write a review, let us know. Write us at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com or @itsgotstartrek on social media. Let us know you wrote a review. Once we confirm it, Dan's going to produce a haiku and read it on the next podcast.
It'll be about your username. It'll be a haiku based upon the concept of your username.
Yeah. Yes. And Dan will mostly stick to your...
And Patrick likes to make fun of me for that subject.
I don't like to make fun of you for it. I'm a little perplexed about the particular constraint, but I'm fine with it because you're the one doing you're the one doing the haikus.
I don't think it's that confusing.
Okay. And so yes, you can find us social media at It's Got Star Trek.
We're a great plan, sweetie.
Pretty much everywhere. We're on Facebook, we're on YouTube, Apple Podcasts.
Yes, I know.
Spotify,
honey.
All that business. You can
Thanks,
find us.
Babe.
Tell your friends. Keep watching Star Trek Lower Decks. Keep listening to us.
As of now, we're just a trio of vacation bros. Oh, my bro is ignorant.
Listen
trying
to
give you a win here, brah.
Listen
See the bottom, bras. This canary is about to fly.
Oh, my bro is ignorant of your ways.
All right. That's good.
Wait, what? Did you stop it?
Did I stop what?
The podcast?
No, I'm trying to fucking stop them. I'm trying to end the podcast.
I was just playing all the bro lines, and then you were like, okay, that's good. We had a good podcast, you guys. No,
but you were like playing it over he was talking.
Okay, anyway, I'm stopping the podcast now because it's too long. Okay.
I thought it was understood that I was playing the bro thing. I'm sorry.
All right, talk to you later. Bye-bye. Next week.
I mean, I have like a ton of work.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
See you at the bottom, bros. This canary is about to fly.
Oh, boy. Yes, it does.
Canary? It's hard to think of an animal that's good at skiing.